Welcome to Where to Ski with me, your host, John Morgan. We're heading to Utah. Grab your skis and let's dive into the world of skiing at Alta. My guest today lives in Cottonwood Heights, right near the mouth of Little Cottonwood Canyon, and has worked for Alta for 25 years, ski patrolling for 21 of those. Scott Ertel has guided for Wasatch Powder Birds and for Ski with Kim for the last decade. He's currently the lead training officer for the Alta Ski Patrol, and he skis this mountain pretty much every day of the season. Grew up skiing in southern Minnesota, and after high school moved west, landing in Summit County, Colorado. After chasing snow and terrain around the west for 5 years, he stumbled on Alta and has no intentions of leaving anytime. Alta's at the end of a box canyon in Little Cottonwood Canyon in the Wasatch Mountains of Utah. Known for steep chutes and deep powder, Alta's base elevation is 8,530 feet, has a vertical of 2,538 feet that supports 2,600 acres of skiing. Not a mega resort by any means. The town is minuscule. No shopping malls here. But it's an old-style ski town focused on the skiing and the people who ski there. It was a mining town in the 1800s, was remote and avalanche-prone. It was also pretty much wiped out in 1885 by a huge avalanche. Sat there dormant for almost 50 years. Then in 1939, Alta opened as one of the oldest ski resorts in the country due to the efforts of many people, including the Norwegian Alf Engen. It's only 35 miles from Salt Lake Airport, and you can get there in about an hour. Alta is a snow trap, normally getting over 500 inches of snow a year. In the big La Nina year of 22-23, it got over 900 inches. That's a lot of snow. It's regularly ranked as having the best snow in North America. And when you think of light powder and steeps, when you hear the iconic trail names High Rustler, Baldy Chutes, or Gunsight, that's Alta. It's an incredible variety of terrain suitable for every level of skier, but it's really skewed toward the intermediates, experts, and extreme skiers. It's not big, but the variety of terrain and the snow quality make it seem huge. If you snowboard, you're out of luck, as Alta is one of three ski resorts in the U.S. that prohibits snowboarders. But for skiers, it's a mecca. So let's hear the real deal from Scott, whose passion for skiing started at a very early age and continues to burn to this day. It's contagious. Scott, welcome to Where to Ski. I'm really excited to talk about Alta.
Beautiful. Well, thanks for having me, John. I'm excited to chat about Alta with you.
Well, Alta's always been one of those sort of sleeper areas. When I started skiing there myself, it was small, full of locals who knew and loved the skiing. Has that changed much now that it's got such a big reputation?
Yeah, good question. You know, times do change, but at the same time, at the core of it all, like, everybody who's here is here for a reason, and that's to ski and ski good snow on great terrain. And that hasn't changed, you know. Yeah, it's still a little sleeper, but plenty of people know about us. And, you know, in the last 20 plus years that I've been here, we've increasingly gotten, you know, busier and busier at all times of the season. It's not just relegated to like the holiday periods. Like, there's a lot of people skiing here because they know they're going to get the best snow with the best terrain. it's a pretty wonderful place.
Yeah. Best snow in the world. It's got a pretty good reputation. Let's talk a minute about getting there and what you see when you arrive. You know, it's close to Salt Lake. Some days can be challenging getting up that canyon, but when you get there, it's just spectacular.
Yeah, it is. You know, the road can definitely be a little bit of a headache, you know, especially if there's been recent snowfall or is currently snowing, or if it's a busy weekend. You know, it seems to be busier and busier on the road, but, you know, planning, I guess, ahead for that, you know, can really help. You know, if you know it's going to be snowy, you know, give yourself some time in the morning, or if you have the opportunity and the means, do what you can to stay up here. I think it really enhances the experience and you actually feel part of the place, you know, for your time up here.
And when you drive in, you sort of see the mountain laid there right in front of you when you get in the parking lot.
Yeah. You kind of come around the corner of the Peruvian Lodge, which is the first lodge. You know, they're all privately owned up here in Alta. first lodge you come to, you just kind of look into your right and you see all the Westward Ho terrain and Wildcat and Collins Chairlift with High Rustler and Lone Pine just staring you in the face, like, okay, it's go time.
Yeah, that's true. You look at it, you look at what's there and what's available to ski. It's just like, wow, where do I start?
Where do I start? Yep.
I sort of struggled trying to pick a starting spot to talk about. There's just so many places to start and so many chutes. A lot of them are like known all over the world. Where
Yeah,
would you go for a day of skiing? What's for experts? What's a go-to day of skiing? And I know it depends
Oh.
on the weather and where the snow's accumulated, things like that, but
Yeah, for sure. You know, it that can be a challenge, but yeah, knowing what you've got ahead for the day helps. You know, if it's going to be snowing all day, you know, you're going to be skiing a lot of trees, just to kind of keep the visibility up there so you actually can see what you're doing. You know, there are plenty of open slopes, and when it's sunny and nice, you're able to ski those open slopes more confidently. But, you know, during storms, which, you know, it snows a lot here, so there's a lot of storms, you're in the trees and skiing, you know, tree chutes and rock lined and tree chutes and, you know, kind of getting lost, but then finding yourself at the same time. It's kind of wonderful.
does the mountain ski, let's say we got a nice sunny day, no weather, no wind. Is there a way to ski the mountain like with the sun? A lot of places we talk about and we go to that I've gone to, you ski with the sun and
Sure.
it sort of guides you around the mountain a little bit. Is Alta ski like that?
Yeah, it can. You know, it seems more so in the spring. It'll ski like that, you know, when you're chasing kind of warmer snow, like if you're in the middle of, you know, a long-winded high pressure, right? And you want to be in the sun right away in the morning where the sun has warmed the snow, and then kind of follow the sun around throughout the day. Now, you know, a sunny winter day when the sun isn't doing maybe as much, but maybe the wind is, you know, doing something to the snow surface and creating some wind buff and loading it into places, but also stripping it from places too. You kind of got to pay attention, right, to where the wind is coming from and where it's loading the snow as well. And that's more of a winter mindset, but with the sun, yeah, be in the sun and where it's warmed the snow enough. And when it gets too gushy, change your aspect a little bit and maybe focus on those slopes and kind of follow it around the compass.
So what's a good starting point for a day at Alta for an expert? You just go up as high as you can, pick a ridge and go, pick a chute.
You know, I guess for any expert kind of starting off, you know, in Alta, I definitely send them right to the Collins Chairlift. It is our arterial lift. You know, it's, you know, pushing 2,000 vert in like 8 minutes puts you right up there to the top. And you know, the high traverse is a really good starting place. And from the high traverse, it accesses, you know, the bread and butter of our terrain. You know, some of the classic chutes that you had kind of referenced earlier, like Stone Crusher, High Rustler, or Gunsight, or High Greeley, or Eagle's Nest. All those things are accessed off of the high traverse. And, you know, getting to know the high traverse early on in your day or in your trip is crucial, because that's going to be, you know, the best access to the most skiing.
Yeah, High Rustler someplace. I think I've started more times than not. It's just
Yep.
a classic.
Oh, it's iconic. I'm staring at it right now.
When it really dumps, how do you ski then? You do ski in the trees when it's dumping, but after it's dumped, there's a whole sequence to opening that hill up too, isn't there? When they
Yeah.
do.
Yeah, there definitely is a sequence to it. You know, we do everything we can on every single day to have the high traverse open, and that's basically gunsight all the way around. So you've got a lot of wonderful terrain right off the bat. You know, we've also got the Wildcat chairlift that has Westward Ho and a lot of that terrain, which is a really nice, good powder skiing terrain, kind of rolly, rompy, sparsely, loosely treed, I guess. Sugarloaf tends to be a little bit more wide open, few less trees, and up on Supreme, some nice steep little shoots, a little shorter vertical, but steep, cool little shoots. And we try to have that bulk of terrain open on any given day, as the storm passes and we're out doing control work, we typically are trying to get what we generally call the backside or East Greeley and Yellow Trail and Glory Hole open as quick as we can. Ballroom and the shoulder, another piece of terrain accessed off of Collins, we try to get to as quick as we can. And that's all underneath Mount Baldy, which is kind of the larger mountain, that's kind of looming over this part of this side of the ski area, on the Collins Gulch. And once we kind of that's our secondary terrain, and then maybe a day or 2 days after a storm, provided it's not going to start storming again, we'll make a move into the Devil's Castle, maybe up to the Baldy Chutes, or up to the East Castle, which is accessed off of Supreme. We try to get to those as often as we can, and we're kind of now here early March, kind of starting to get into that terrain more consistently after storms. Now that our coverage is good and it's been skied and it's a little bit avalanche wise safer to be up there and get a bunch of people up there skiing it.
So it sounds like it's a couple of days after a big dump. It's a couple of days to get everything back open again.
Yeah, it takes a bit, we'll take Baldy, for instance. If we're going to open all of Baldy, main chute, the little chute, Dogleg, Perla's, East Ballroom, the shoulder, all those things, it takes a good 20 people, 20 patrollers doing control work multiple hours in the morning, to get that online, provided Mother Nature plays ball as well.
Are there spots up there that aren't serviced by lifts that you climb to that are inbounds?
Yeah, well, I mean, in a way, those that I've just referenced, like say Baldy, the Chutes, Devil's Castle, East Castle, these are all they're accessed by lift, but then, what most would consider a long sidestepping traverse to get out into this terrain where you can then ski it. But it's all inbounds and it's all been mitigated. Avalanche, mitigation has been done. And yeah, that's those would be the inbounds kind of off-piste gems, of our terrain for sure.
How about, does it help to go up with a guide or a lead instructor, especially, first time there?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's always nice to have a guide, and you can use guide and instructor interchangeably for sure. I know a lot of our instructors here have such clientele that it's not like they're out there instructing, it's really just them showing them where the best snow is and being able to cut lines, which is, the price you pay for hiring, an instructor. But honestly, if you're going to be here, if your listeners are going to be here for a week, and they're really wanting to tap into, what Alta has to offer, and the conditions are good, and everything is open or has been opened recently, like, taking one of those days and hiring, an instructor to give them a good, lay of the land for a day would probably be money well spent, most definitely.
You guided some too. You guided with the Powder Birds, and you still do some limited guiding now. Is there off-piste skiing around there?
Well, yeah, we Alta does have an open boundary policy. That said, our boundary, we share with Snowbird for, I don't know, probably two-thirds, three-quarters of our boundary, we share with Snowbird. So then there are some limitations as to how to get, kind of into Snowbird's terrain, gates, if you will, being able to get in and into their terrain and then back into our terrain. But our main access point for kind of off-piste or, backcountry skiing or side country, some people say, would be off of the Supreme Chairlift, and kind of out the Catherines area, a little bit of a hike to kind of mellow black terrain bowl that we have back there, a series of bowls. But then, yeah, some easy access, honestly, into some backcountry skiing out there for sure.
What about for intermediates and, novice skiers? It's not really a place I think of for beginners, but I think you guys do have some spots they can start.
Yeah, definitely. There's actually a really nice variety of terrain on the Albian Basin side of the ski area, and that chairlift would be Sunnyside, and then the Sugarloaf and Supreme areas all have, I wouldn't say green terrain up on Sugarloaf and Supreme, blue terrain, but pretty mellow, well marked, and enjoyable blue terrain. And down on Sunnyside, which is our beginner lift, we replaced that actually last year, and that's now a six pack, a high speed six pack. 5 minutes, you're up to the top. 6 minutes, you're up to the top, and a ton of green terrain, really, really accessible, to everybody. And then the ski school has a conveyor belt, for kind of your very low level skier. And then there is one lift that accesses one of the lodges. Up here, the Snowpine lift that accesses some really nice, mellow teaching and green terrain. So surprisingly, for how much wonderful steep terrain we have up here, there's enough terrain up here to learn how to ski too and not be, scared.
Good. It's important. Not everyone can throw it down those chutes.
Yeah, not everyone. I mean, they all want to, and a lot of them think they can and struggle at it, but that's how we all started, right?
Yeah, the snow's soft,
Exactly.
Now, you guys at Alta have been really at the forefront of avalanche mitigation since you opened, back in 1939. You just
Yeah.
got rid of the howitzer that you've had for years, but what are some of the things that you guys do in the avalanche mitigation space pretty much every day, and what's new?
Yeah, what's new? Yeah, the end of the 105 program, is kind of currently happening. We do, up on Pea Ridge, we do still have two 105 howitzers. One is UDOTs, and they use that to shoot across the road, Mount Superior, and a few other targets, and that's all changing for them as well. And then we have a gun that we still haven't decommissioned yet, but because we've now moved into a new era, we haven't used it this year and will most likely be decommissioned in the next year to 2 years. I think they're hesitant on fully pulling out the installation until we know what we are kind of moving into works effectively. But so far it is working effectively. And that being the use of some remote triggered control devices that we call the Wiesen Towers. It's a Swiss company, and it's an 11-pound charge that falls out of basically a revolver, if you want to call it that, a carousel up on a tower in all these starting zones. And it falls from this box and hangs there above the snow. Big explosion takes care of the avalanche, problem for that zone. And we use them, specific to the day and to the weather and the snow conditions. And they've been working really well.
I thought there was some sonic devices too that were being used.
Yeah, not necessarily sonic devices. So these Wiesen installations, it's a cast booster, a bomb, basically, that has a cap and a fuse, and a 90 second fuse sort of thing. We also use what's called an Obel or an Obelx, which is pressurized gas, with then a remote triggering device. They kind of up on the ridge look like little space capsules, but that it's kind of like a Gaz-X, another like gas explosion that forces it down onto the slope, and they work pretty well for those installations. These Wiesen towers and have been working, I think better than those than the Obels, but for the terrain that we have our Obels in, they seem to be working really well. And yeah, here in the last 3 years, at least with Alta, I think we've put I think we've installed 14 of them. I might be wrong by one or two, but on Baldy we have like 10 or so, and then on the East Castle I think it's four installations, and that just allows us to quickly do some mitigation work and be able to open the terrain underneath, not necessarily the terrain where the avalanche started, but the terrain that's underneath, because these are all locations that are, you know, that we have skiing terrain underneath these large starting zones.
Well, that's important too, is that a lot of avalanches start above the skiing terrain, and a lot of people don't know that. They think, oh, I'll ski out there and trigger an avalanche. No, you might
Yeah.
ski out there and be caught by an avalanche that starts above you.
Exactly. Yeah, we have a lot of that terrain, and you know, surely under Baldy, you know, ballroom, which we have opened, you know, consistently, provided it's not in the middle of a storm cycle and the wind is, you know, howling along and loading the slopes above. But you know, some 1,000-foot chutes, you know, above you on this mellow blue, you know, powder skiing terrain. You know, most people don't really realize that. And then kind of over in our sunny side, you know, our lower level skier, Patsy Marley, is above that, and that's a 1,200-1,400-foot face that will often avalanche, and we've got to, you know, manage that accordingly, you know, to the weather and the wind and the snowpack. So yeah, we're always looking up,
Well, you're
making
always
sure.
looking up, but you guys pretty much are world leaders in dealing with this stuff, and that's great. And sort of look to you to see what's coming up next at some of the other areas we talk about.
Yeah, it's you know, the history is long and painted, and there's a yeah, a lot of the earlier, you know, mitigation techniques, and use of explosives, and surely then artillery, you know, stemmed from here in Little Cottonwood. You know, I think it was
Well,
Monty Atwater, you know, in the 50s, you know, being given a French 75 howitzer and pretty much commandeering the thing and just taking care of it all by himself with the French 75.
well, there's nothing like the sound of a mortar going off first thing in the morning.
Yep, there is nothing like it, that's for sure.
Do you guys still do hand charges too?
Most definitely, that's the bread and butter of how we mitigate, you know, the majority of the terrain that we're skiing on a daily basis. So on a big morning for us, as we're out and about, we'll use, you know, 80, you know, to 100, if not more, if we're kind of making the push to get into some other terrain. You know, we use explosives extensively for testing, and it works wonderfully, and you know, we do it very safely and effectively.
So we'll change direction a little bit. After you've done some
Pivoting.
skiing, after you've done some skiing, what's the best place on the mountain to grab a snack?
Ooh, to grab a snack. Yeah, you know, Alta Java is the really nice spot to go grab a snack. Often, you know, you'll see a lot of locals hanging out there grabbing a quick coffee or, you know, a quick little bite. That would be kind of my go-to, you know, the Watson Shelter, which is on the Collins side, kind of mid-mountain. Another little coffee shop and, you know, nice restaurant there. But yeah, the Alta Java is the spot. You know, you're able to ski a nice big long run down to it, grab yourself a coffee, back across the Transfer Toe, and back up Collins to go do it again. You know, that's kind of
Perfect.
how we do it here. We're all about
Perfect.
skiing.
Now, Alta's got snow like from December on, good snow. What do you think the best month to head there is?
Yeah, you know, that fluctuates. That definitely fluctuates. I think if you were to, you know, in the summer, making plans going into a winter, planning your ski vacation, you know, February into March is honestly the best time, because at that point, you know, you've got a lot of the season's worth of coverage, right? So all your terrain that you want to go ski has snow on it and has been skied. And it also snows a lot in February and March, typically. Now that said, we've had some pretty dry Februaries and Marches, and December is our wettest. So, being flexible and paying attention to the weather helps a lot. But if you're having to make plans, months in advance, February, March, probably your best. But it's also kind of busy around here during those months because, you're not alone. Everybody wants to be here during those months
And
for good
early in the
reason.
season, there is good reason. And early in the season, I've always looked at it and thought, well, Alta needs about 100 inches to get really skiable as sort of my break point. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's maybe 100 inches in total snowfall, but I'm not gonna lie. I feel like Alta skis the best when our mid-mountain depth is like 80 or 90 inches. The terrain is still there. There's plenty of cool nooks and crannies and rocks. It's a little bit more challenging of skiing, but we haven't lost all of our pitch to a ton of snow. Now, right now, we're at about 140, 150. And it actually skis really nice for a 140, 150 kind of depth. Like when you start putting too much snow on it, you start losing some of the steeps. But I really like the 80, 90 inch base. Like when you start seeing Alta at like 80, 90 inches, like, oh, I mean, it's time to start skiing.
Okay. And that helps. That helps. That might skew my planning for next year. I bet last year it got a little challenging. You had so much snow. That was an epic year for you.
Right. It was an epic year.
Did a
Yeah,
lot of the canyon, did a lot of the chutes fill up so deep that they sort of took the steepness out?
a lot of it. Yeah, high rustler, lone pine, stone crusher. I mean, it's always a little steep up top, but you start putting that much snow on it, and it mellows out quicker than you're used to it. And a
Okay.
lot of that's because of avalanches as well, right? Like all the snow on the steep uppers, will have avalanched down into the lower, angle terrain down low and kind of built up from underneath. So, and we're not alone in that. You could list off a dozen ski areas that, are in that same situation, throughout a ski season.
Well, that's snow moves. That's
It
just the way it
does,
is.
right?
It migrates down the hill.
It does. Sometimes up the hill, depending on what the wind wants to do with
Staying in Alta is sort of limited. There's what, three hotels?
Well, it's actually like five. We've got the
Really?
Peruvian,
Mm-hmm.
Gold Miner's Daughter, the Alta Lodge, the Rustler Lodge, and then the Snowpine Lodge. So there are five. I'm not sure how many beds total, but I'm sure less than 1,000 beds. And all of the Alta would be my guess, but don't quote me on any of that.
But it sounds like there's options. It's not one or two. There's five is pretty good. What about staying down in Salt Lake or Sandy? Is that really a good option or is
It is a good option, and often, a more cost-effective option. One caveat to that is if it is snowing and there are intermittent road closures and inner lodges and things like that happening, you kind of want to be up here for that. You don't want to be stuck down there or stuck on the road trying to get up. So it's a great option, and especially if you're on a week ski vacation and you're going to try to ski a bunch of different ski areas, it's a great option. But if you're coming out here to ski in Little Cottonwood Canyon and here in Alta and down the road at Snowbird, staying up canyon is in my mind the best route because you take kind of some of those what ifs out of it and you're up here, rain, shine, wind, and snow.
well, you mentioned inner lodges, and some of our guests may not know what those are. And that's when they close the canyon down for quite a period of time, right?
Yeah, for quite a period of time. Yeah, no travel on the road, but then also no travel outside of the lodges or residences. So if inner lodge is in effect, you're not You're not walking from the lodge to the chairlift or in between the lodges. You are in the lodge until Inner Lodge is lifted. And that's, because of high or extreme avalanche danger surrounding it. This is a pretty steep canyon with a lot of possibility for avalanches, especially during these major storm cycles. And yeah, it's a real thing. And if you've never experienced it, you'll remember the first time, that's for sure.
I've never been in an Inner Lodge, but I've heard there's some ragers, parties, but there's also, you get a lot of people that can be stuck up there, day trippers who have to hibernate in a lodge for, 24, 36 hours.
Yeah, it does happen. Thankfully, not nearly as much as it used to. There's some better plans in place than maybe 30 and 40 and 50 years ago, to ensure that the day skier, the day traveler doesn't get stuck up here, overnight. But it's happened. I won't rule out it not ever happening again. But it's been about 25 years, honestly, since we had like a an inner lodge that was immediately in effect. And they were inner lodge all through the night and through the next day. The Department of Transportation avalanche crew and the ski areas, both Snowbird Alta, do everything they can to, if something like that is coming down, if that sort of weather system and those sort of conditions are happening, we'll help people make their decision for them and issue them out of the canyon before it gets too bad.
Tell them to go home now.
Well, nicely, but pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. So Alta is pretty much about skiing. It's remote. It's not very big. It's not a mega resort like a number of other resorts that I could mention here. There's not a shopping mall. There's not a town to walk through so much. What can non-skiers do up there?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. In Alta, there's not a ton. A lot of the lodges, or a couple few of them, I should say, a lot of, that's a relative term. The Snowpine and the Rustler and the Alta Lodge have nice spas with a wonderful staff, massages and kind of more of that sort of activity. There really isn't like an ice skating rink or anything like that. I will say, just down the road, it's Snowbird, a little bit more of a resort that has a few more of those sorts of amenities, but still overall pretty minimal. When you're coming into Alta, when you're coming up to Little Cottonwood, you're here with the purpose, to ski.
Absolutely.
It's proximity though to Salt Lake. Makes it pretty easy for non-skiers to do a pretty easy day trip down to the city, national theaters and all art museums and natural history museums and whatever that are world class. But up here in the canyon, if you're up here, it's skiing. We're here to ski.
And that's fair enough. And if you do want to go and enjoy Salt Lake, it's 45 minutes. It's not a big
Yeah,
deal.
it is pretty minimal on a good day.
On a good
That's for
day.
sure. Yeah, there's a couple of the ski shops do rent snowshoes and some Nordic gear for either your kicking, gliding, or skating. But that terrain is pretty minimal, and if it's during a storm cycle, like for non-skiers venturing out with snowshoes out into the steep backcountry, like that's just a recipe for disaster. So we, kind of limit where they are, kind of able to go, or at least give them the information to make good decisions, right?
But
Yeah.
there are good restaurants up there too.
Yeah, there are some really nice restaurants, and all of them attached to their lodges. But all of them do a wonderful job. The Snow Pines food is wonderful, and it's a really nice space. And the Rustler does a fantastic job. Just kind of the whole thing, all of the Rustler's world. And the Alta Lodge, all of them do a wonderful job of what they're going for. And a lot of the, A lot of the packages that you'd be booking in some of these lodges, have breakfast and dinner kind of built into the pricing, which really takes some of the guesswork, out of it. But makes it a lot more comfortable, if you're not having to scurry around and try to book here and try to book a table down here. It makes it really nice and streamlined.
Makes it easy. There's a,
It
I can't
does.
remember where, but somebody has a pizza that is just amazing up there.
Yeah, there are a couple. The gold miner's daughter historically has a really, really nice pizza, and they still do. They've done some reworking with the saloon and the pizzeria in their kind of bar area, and their pizzas are still fantastic. You're just enjoying it in a different location. One of our favorites, unfortunately, is not around anymore. The Shallow Shaft, that kind of a product of COVID, kind of closed up shop, and unfortunately, they're not doing pizzas and kind of fine dining meals anymore. But that was a loss to the community for sure.
You mentioned the gold miner's daughter. They've got a pretty solid opera thing. There's something I think called an Altbaum.
Yeah, the Altbaum has definitely become a thing. Basically, you get a pint of PBR and a shot of espresso, and you drink some of your PBR, and then you drop that espresso in, and there you go.
And then you got to go out and go work off the
I guess
espresso.
it's a thing, Some people love it, some people loathe it, but I think it's here to stay.
Where else can you go for after dinner or after skiing up there?
Yeah, after skiing, some après. The Slopeside Joe's, I think, is what the gold miners, little bar is called. It's kind of cool. They've got some gas fireplaces on a patio down there. It's kind of right at the base of the Collins chairlift. I think any true local will tell you, head to the P Dog, head to the Peruvian to have a drink. Classic ski bar, lively. Bunch of people out there ripping all day, and then having some drinks,
Is
in the evening.
that where the patrollers go after they've been throwing bombs and working with the dogs all
Yeah,
day?
you know what? There's definitely the P Dog contingent, but the Alta Lodge up to the Sitzmark is a spot that a lot of us will go as well. It's a little bit calmer, a little bit mellower. A lot of familiar faces and good people up there. And yeah, those are kind of the three. Those are kind of the three main ones for sure.
Okay. So let's spend a minute on your philosophy about skiing and guiding instruction. You interact with guests a lot of what a lot and a, in a lot of different ways. What do you
Yeah.
like your guests to know about your passion for skiing and for this place you call home?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's hard to explain a philosophy, but I don't know. I think at the end of it all, it's he who had the most fun had the best day, had the best day ever, right? If you're having fun and you're being safe about it and you're aware of your surroundings and the people around you are having fun and you're having fun, that's really all that matters. I'm not much of an instructor. Like, I surely know how to turn a ski. I've been doing it, since I was four. But in terms of guiding, I think, I guess, a philosophy would be, keep your head up, pay attention to your surroundings. Don't get so tunnel visioned into either where it is you are currently or where you're trying to get. Like, open your eyes, head on a swivel, like, pay attention to your surroundings. You'll learn a lot. And you'll learn a lot watching the people around you as well, how they're skiing, how they're getting somewhere. Like, if you're showing up to a new ski area, that's always the challenge, right? Like, okay, where's the good skiing and how do I get to it? So head on a swivel, be paying attention. Oh, okay, it's up there. And then I get into it. Okay, that tree, just always be paying attention. And it tends to work no matter where it is you're going.
What's your own favorite day skiing at Alta? No, no
Oh,
responsibility at all.
no responsibility at all. Well, I guess, start off with the Collins chairlift, head to the top, head out the high traverse and kind of head to one of the bigger, longer shots, whether it be Stone Crusher or High Boy, High Rustler or High Greeley or Gunsight. And then just kind of watch traffic and see where people are going and try to go where they're not, because the snow will be better where they're not. Hopefully that's a day that the patrol's getting the backside open. We can go up the East Greeley through the High Notch or go ski Eddies, probably my favorite run here at Alta. Go ski in Eddies, oh my gosh, maybe the chutes are open. We can go up to Baldy and go ski a little chute or a main chute or a Perla's, and if the castle's open, walking out to the wall, it always takes a little bit of time, but it's always well worth it. You're underneath this big, multiple 100-foot cliff, just out in the Alpine, enjoying it, just loving it. It's
Wow.
you can touch a lot of different terrain and a lot of different aspects, in a day of skiing here. It's pretty amazing for how small it can feel. If we've got all the terrain open, I mean, it's 25, 2600 acres of almost all skiing.
You take your daughter up there. She's, from what you were telling me earlier, she's a hell of a skier too.
Well, born and raised, daughter of an Alta ski patrolman, she had no choice. Well, she did, but only kind of. And it was wonderful raising my daughter here up in Little Cottonwood, and she now works down at the Bird for their lift crew, and skis 4 or 5 days a week and has a passion for the sport as well. It's been a treat. It's been a
Do you ever
treat.
take her to any of your special spots up there and let her throw
Oh
it off the
yeah.
edge? Oh,
Yeah,
yeah.
definitely. Oh yeah. I mean, there's still
Absolutely.
some secrets. I haven't taught them all to her. That's I gotta hold something close to my chest.
There you go. How would our listeners find you if they wanted to find out more about Alta?
Wow, that's an interesting question.
Is the
I would
best thing to do
say,
maybe try and track down a trip with Kim Reichelm, the Ski with Kim group, or that's really the
that might be a really good opportunity, or an option. I'm actually kind of going into some Kim Reichelm camps here in the next couple weeks. Really excited for that. She has a women's camp that I've guided for along with a good friend, Siri, and then a steep camp. And conditions permitting, we're up on Baldy and we're doing everything we can to get into all of our terrain. And yeah, really excited for that. It's always fun to have Kim in town, and we go, way back. I've been working for her for a good decade at this point, and have a really fun time with the people she brings in and getting to show them, around the ski area.
Scott, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about Alta. You might
Yeah,
see
you're
Scott
very
anywhere on
welcome.
the mountain. In the winter, he could be anywhere on that mountain. You might even see him throwing bombs in the morning. You
Yeah, or
probably
at
won't
least hear
see
me.
if you might see him at the patrol building teaching the newest recruits too.
Yeah.
If you like our podcasts, please share them and listen to perspectives on other areas. Thanks for joining. And thanks to the Grits for the music.